Good morning. So good to see you in the Lord's house today. Thank you, Karen, for beginning our time together with such a beautiful piece on the piano. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and prepare for what God has in store for us here today in this service. Dear Lord, thank you for your presence in our lives and in this place. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit gives us strength and power to live daily for you. Help us, Lord, to rely on your power and not on our own strength. I pray that you'll help us now as we worship, as we sing songs of praise, as we pray together, as we hear your word proclaimed. Thank you for the good news of Jesus. Thank you that that good news sustains us, Lord, as we trust and follow you completely by obeying your word and receiving your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the gift of salvation and for working in us that every single day as we trust in you. For it's in Jesus' holy name, amen. Start the service today, standing on the solid rock. Let's stand as we sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." He is worthy of honor, praise, and all the glory we can bestow on Him. Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 45.
Thank you. traditional worship. All those of you that are guests today, we're so thrilled that the Lord has led you to worship with us here at First Baptist Church. On the far right-hand side, if you open up your bulletin, the far right-hand side there is a visitor QR code. Hit that with your phone, or there's a card in front of you, and it has a visitor QR code. If you hit that with your phone, it'll take you to our visitor card, and then you can give us as much or as little information as you would like to give us, and we would appreciate you doing that. Glad that you're here. Take a moment or two. Walk around. Welcome your friends. Good to have you this morning.
Testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good.
All the time, He brings a song of praise
in this heart of mine. God is good. All the time, through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand, though I may not understand all the plans You have for me, my life is in Your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see. Clearly see, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. He's so good. God is good. He's so good. Yes, God is good. He's so good all the time.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank the Lord. He is good all the time. And God can take little and make much of it. This beautiful hymn, it's hymn 661. God is able to make all grace abound to you. And there's times, more than others, when we need that grace. And in those times, God knows it. And He applies that grace just when we need it the most.
In the harvest fields now ripe, there's a word for all to do. Hark the of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it and will not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you come in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and
everything you do, do it in the name of Jesus, giving glory and honor to him, giving thanks to the Father as well. Our offertory hymn today is a powerful hymn, hymn number 526, On Christ, the Solid Rock, I Stand. So you remain seated, however, on the first three stanzas, then we'll stand on the last as we rejoice together.
Oh,
you want me to pray, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for the outpouring of your blessings on each and every one of us. And we come this morning with heavy hearts on those that have lost loved ones, and we just pray that you be with them and give them comfort. And as we come now to this portion of the service when we can give back just a tiny portion of what you've given to each one of us, we just pray that we can use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Lord God, we want to do what the Scripture says, so help us to trust in you with all of our heart. Help us to lean not on our own understanding. Help us, Lord, in that all of our ways, that we will acknowledge you, submit to you. And Lord, we do pray that you would direct our path. Guide our steps and help us to walk in the way of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to trust you in everything we say and everything we do, in the way we live our lives, that people would know that we've been with you even now in this time of worship. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sing along with the ensemble as they lead. Trust in God.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will
trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God.
Yes,
I trust in God. He will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in
and praise. Dear Father, take care of Joel as he brings your word. Fill him with your power, your spirit, and bless our ears to hear, to receive. Bless our hearts to perceive and to understand, our minds to understand and to know you even more in the power of your resurrection. Lord, I just thank you for Jesus. I thank you for sending Joel to be our pastor and for the word that you've laid on his heart. Help us to trust you even more as he shares the word with us today. In his name we pray.
Amen. Thank you so much. Ensemble and choir leading us in worship today. Our passage of scripture today is Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. As we continue to walk through Philippians, we've made our way toward the end of this great letter. We'll have a few more Sundays before we finish Philippians altogether, but today we're in Philippians 4, verses 9 through 12. And I am awed, I am challenged by this incredible thought, this incredible statement that the Apostle Paul makes while he is in a prison cell in Rome, not knowing whether he's going to live or die. And while in this prison cell, here's what he says. Now, I'll read the passage in just a few minutes. But this is the basic thought. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. To me, church, that is one of the greatest statements ever made. Now, no, we're not talking about salvation, all right? So the greatest ever made is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. But as followers of Jesus Christ, those who claim Christ as our Savior and Lord, one of the greatest statements ever made is when Paul tells us that he is content no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. What an incredibly powerful statement. And I'm really, really, really trying in the early worship and in this worship, I'm really trying to help you see the magnificence as a follower of Christ, those of us in Jesus. I'm trying to get you to see just how earth-shattering this really is. Because oftentimes we read these letters that Paul gives us. We know they're divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we gloss over this something like this. Well, I've learned to be content in every situation. And we move on. And we fail to see the incredible power of that statement. I am content in Jesus alone. We live in a material world, and Paul says, but my contentment is in Christ and Christ alone. When I preach the gospel to myself every single day, contentment is the last thing that I deal with when I talk to God, when I pray, and when I preach the gospel to myself every single day. Contentment is the last thing. So I say worship, adoration, and praise. I worship and adore and praise God the Father. I then confess my sin and my incredible need. I need you not just confessing my sin, but confessing to the Lord. I need you every second of every today. I can't leave the farm today. If I leave the farm, I'm going to be like the prodigal son. I'll wind up in a pig pen somewhere. Then I spend time in thanksgiving. That's the third thing, is thankfulness. Father, I am so grateful and thankful for all the gifts of life that you give to me in Jesus. And then I spend time in humility before the Father. Why in the world do you continue to shower this grace on me? Is beyond my wildest imagination. I'm humbled that you do. Then I spend time with trust and faith in the Father. But then the very last thing that I do in preaching the gospel to myself every day is I say, Lord, today I am content in you and you alone. Now, even when the Lord knows my heart and the Lord knows good and well that I don't mean it, even when the Lord knows that I'm acting like a spoiled, entitled child, I still say to the Lord, but Lord, I've already confessed that to you, so I'm going to try to spend the rest of this day content in you and you alone. So many of us who are followers of Jesus Christ are not content. We look longingly to the past. We yearn toward the future. We're unhappy in the now. And in the process, we miss out on life's incredibly important possibilities. The end result then is dissatisfaction. And I'm just like you. I fight it every single day. John Huffman once said, how many truly contented people do you suppose you know? Let me stop there with the quote. Think about that for a moment. How many truly contented people do you suppose you know? You know, people who are really satisfied with themselves, their marriage, their children, their health, the community in which they live, the house they live in, the job they hold, the degree of their success, the schools their children attend, the church to which they belong. How many people do you know who would be content to live as they do and where they do from now on? Man, how many truly contented people do you suppose you really know? A farmer had lived on a small farm all his life. He desperately craved for change. He decided to sell the old home place and buy another farm, and so he listed it with a realtor. Several days later, he read an ad describing the farm of his dreams. It read, beautiful farmhouse, ideal location, excellent barn, good pasture, fertile soil, up-to-date equipment, well-bred stock, near town, church, and school, incredible neighbors. He called the realtor and he said, I found the farm of my dreams. Could you arrange an appointment for me to see it? The realtor responded, that's your farm. He was living his dream and he didn't even know it. We magnify the difficulties. We exaggerate our shortcomings. We overlook the advantages. And we fail to see the great in what God has given to each one of us. When Paul wrote his first letter to his friend Timothy, so he writes two letters to Timothy, and his first letter that he wrote to Timothy, he's bringing it toward the end in chapter 6. And before he starts his final concluding remarks to Timothy, he wants to tackle one more subject that needs to be dealt with, and Timothy and the body of Christ dealing with in the first century. And so he's talking about in this final part of the body of the letter before he gets to the conclusion, he's talking about the love of money. And he's really talking about the fact that there are those in the body of Christ who are turning the body into Christ into a money-making scheme. We think that we're the only ones in the 20th and 21st century to have the health, wealth, prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all. Anytime you add or take away from the good news of the gospel that has been inspired to us in the Holy Scripture, when you add or take away from that, it's no longer the gospel. But we think we're the only ones that have this health, wealth, prosperity gospel. Lord, no, it's been going on since the first century. Paul dealt with it on many occasions. And so there were those in the body of Christ who were trying to make a buck off of the gospel. They were no longer concerned about grace alone through faith alone. They were concerned about making money off of the gospel. And then what they were doing was they were turning their sinful greed into wanting to make more money and then justifying, assuaging that greed by saying, oh, this is what God wants for me. And so Paul deals with that whole issue and those who are trying to make a buck off of the gospel and those who are in it for the love of money. And he gets to the end of this little argument and he says to Timothy, godliness, here's the truth, Timothy. Godliness combined with contentment is wealth. So godliness first, Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what I want more than anything else in the world. I want to know Jesus, the gospel, the good news. So that kind of godliness, the gospel, light in my heart, light in my mind, light in my life. Godliness, then when you combine that with what Paul is talking about in Philippians, with contentment, you put those two things together, and Paul is telling Timothy that, not money, but that is wealth. Now that's true wealth, Paul says to Timothy. Scott Peck once said, Contentment in Jesus is the wealthiest attitude a believer can have. Godliness combined with contentment will produce a life that has eternal value. People who long for the riches of this world, they fall into a trap that plunges them in destruction. The love of money will kill you. I like the fact that Peck here is just so blunt. He doesn't beat around the bush. The love, get it? The love of money will destroy you. All the evils of this world could not come not because our desires for happiness are too strong, but because they are so weak that we settle for the scraps from the table that do not satisfy our deepest longings, but in the end destroy them. The root of all evil is that we are the kind of people who settle for the love of money or the love of something in this world instead of the love of God. That is so powerful. John Piper, one of my all-time favorite quotes, if you don't feel the strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, somebody after the early worship said, when you said that and you stopped, I asked myself the question, do I feel the manifestation for the glory of God? And she said, no. I couldn't wait to hear the next part of the quote. If you don't feel the strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. No. It's because you have nibbled so long at the table of this world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. How powerful is that? That's what Paul is trying to communicate to us in this incredible passage of Scripture. We, like every family, we have a text chain that's just, and Janice has named it Sam Fam. So it's our family. Janice and myself, Ben and Kara, Davis and Laura, Carson and Mary Glenn. And so we send recipes over. How about this for Monday night? And we send devotions and all kind of different things, just like every family. We have our own little text chain, and we send pictures of the twins and the grandbabies, and we ooh and ah, and we do all that stuff. Well, Janice is involved in this devotional from a man named Alistair Begg. And every now and then, she just loves one of those devotions so much that she just sends it to everybody. She sent one the other morning, and then after she sent it, she and I went for a walk, our morning walk, and when we were just about finished with the walk, Janice grabbed the garbage can and was walking down the driveway to take the garbage can to its rightful place, and she just stopped and she looked at me and she said, I'm just so much like the Israelites. Because the devotion was about the Israelites wanting so much more than what God had provided. She said, oh, I'm so much like the Israelites. I said, me too, honey. Me too. Remember the context of this incredible power passage of Scripture. Euodia, Syntyche, stop this disagreement. Settle it. Instead of being filled with this anger and disagreement, be full of joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't be anxious over this stuff. Pray about it. Give it to the Lord and He'll give you peace. Fix your thoughts last Sunday on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And then he moves on in verse 9 for our passage today. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, even when you don't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. So contentment is of course, not based on our outward circumstances. Paul is the supreme example. He was financially low. Remember, when you're in prison in the first century, it's not like being in prison in 21st century America. There was no three meals a day. You didn't get an orange jumpsuit to wear. There was no clothing. There was no food. If the only way that you could eat in the first century when you were in a jail cell in Rome, the only way you could eat is if somebody loved you enough outside of the jail, a family member or friend, could bring you food or clothes. If nobody outside came to give you food and clothing, then you would die of malnutrition, and the Roman government and guards wouldn't care less, couldn't have cared less. So the Apostle Paul has learned, sometimes I got a lot, people are good to me, and I get a lot. Sometimes I'm in here and I have nothing. And I've learned to be content whether I've got a lot or nothing. Contentment is not a state of life in which we are propped up by artificial protection. It is not a security that assures that we are not to be torn down. Contentment for Paul was God-sized. It was not manufactured by man. It's not something that happens overnight. What does Paul say? I've learned the secret of living in every situation. How did he learn? He learned it through prayer. We are not by nature content. This is not one of those sermons where the preacher is heaping guilt. For those of you that are not good at this, I hope you feel guilty and you're not content enough and you're bad people and you should feel guilt. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. That's not at all what this sermon is. This sermon is, hey everybody, we're all in this boat together. All of us. We live in a material world. We are not by nature content. We are born as sons and daughters of Adam, sinners. And as sinners, we then are thrust into this sin-filled world that leads us in the exact opposite direction of the gospel. So we are not by nature. This is not something that just is by nature we are content, by no stretch of the imagination. It takes a long time of building a relationship with Jesus to learn how to fight against this natural proclivity to always want what we don't have. How do we learn? I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. We learn through prayer and relationship with Jesus. It's not a state of mind over matter. It's not we're not talking about the power of positive thinking here. It's not the affirmative lifestyle. R.C. Sproul writes, in Paul's day, there was a group of people called Stoics. A Stoic was a person who believed that contentment did not consist of the possession of many things. Instead, contentment came from wanting little. So, if you minimize your desires, you can increase your contentment. Socrates was once asked who was the wealthiest man in the world, and he answered, he who is content with least for self-sufficiency is nature's wealth. The Stoic wanted to abolish all personal desire, feeling, and emotion. But that's not our calling. That's called fatalism. It's not God's desire for us to eliminate the very things that He desires for us to have. Paul is not calling for fatalism, church. He's calling for contentment. And contentment, as opposed to fatalism, contentment is a divine gift, not a human achievement. It's God's sufficiency, not self-sufficiency. Raymond Edmond once said, God has given you a job. That job is to be carried out in the present, not in the future. It will always be done in the present. Learning how to live our lives in the now by faith. Contentment is a life of trust in God the Father in the present. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, whether plenty or little. I am content in Jesus. That church is what the gospel produces in us. And it can only be produced by the gospel. You and I, sinful human beings in a sinful world, we simply do not have it within us. Only through the divine presence and power of the gospel. I use this illustration all the time, and I know that I use it all the time, and I use it all the time because it's good for me. And it's a good visual. And one of the illustrations that I always use all the time, it seems like oftentimes I throw it in there in so many sermons, it's just, I know you've heard me use it 100 million times. But it is that illustration of a hamster running on a treadmill. You've got it pictured in your mind now, no matter, you could have been thinking about lunch. You could have been thinking about the great lunch that you're going to have, but you can't help it now. Now all you can picture in that brain of yours is some silly hamster running on a treadmill. You've all seen it, haven't you? And that hamster running on a treadmill, running hard, hard, hard. I mean, that treadmill spinning. I mean, spinning, spinning, spinning. And those hamsters can fly on those treadmills. And that is the perfect picture of the world that you and I live in. Those who are without Christ, it's like running on a treadmill, running hard, running fast, and going absolutely nowhere. Nowhere. And Paul, I don't think that I'm going out of bounds here today with this passage of Scripture. And I think that Paul would agree with what I'm about to say. And this is what I'm trying to communicate to the body of Christ. I think Paul would look at us and say, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live like a hamster running on a treadmill, going hard, going nowhere. You do not have to live that way. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I have learned to be content no matter what. There was a day and time when Paul had everything that you could imagine wanting in this world. Now, he's in a jail cell and he's got nothing. And Paul says, that's fine. When I had it all, that's exactly where the Lord wanted me. Now that I've got nothing, that's exactly where the Lord wants me. I'm content either way. Man, that's powerful, church. That is so powerful. Father, thank you so much for that good word today. That powerful word that you give to Paul, to the Philippian Christians. Thank you for your gift. Thank you that when you weren't able to give, I'm good either way. I'm content whether my stomach's full or empty. Whether I have everything I need or I have nothing, I'm content. Because my contentment is not based on my outward circumstances. My contentment is based on Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you, Father. We are all, as your children, living in a sin-filled world. And we need a powerful word of what it means to live in Christ Jesus. And that's one of the things that we need. Contentment in Jesus and Jesus alone. If there's anybody here today, Father, that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, they're a hamster running on a treadmill going nowhere fast. May they stop. Put trust and faith in Jesus. And for those of us that know you as Savior and Lord, Father, what a great word to us today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." If you do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, then that's our encouragement for you. Trust Him. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you do, and you want to join our church, our mission and ministry here, then we encourage you to do that. Come and pray whatever the Lord leads you to do as we stand, as we sing.
My joy, my righteousness and freedom.
steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly meant to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but the Christ in me. Price it has been paid, for Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overflow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever chains are released. I can see I am free, yet not I, through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
So I can't.
Yet not I, but through Christ.
Please be seated for just a moment. First of all, we have coming Laura Meharry today. Laura moved into Gunnersville a few weeks ago, started coming to First Baptist Church. She's been here for several weeks now. Went to the Sunday school class this morning with Sherry Manley Sunday school class and got to know a lot of the ladies there. So she's coming today saying, I know Christ is my Savior and Lord. I have followed Christ in believer's baptism. I know that this is where the Lord wants me to worship and serve, right here at First Baptist Church. So I know that you are thrilled for Laura and for her making that decision today. All in favor of Laura coming today? Nobody opposed to that? And so in just a few moments when we're done and leaving, then Laura will be down here at the front, and you make sure that you say a word of encouragement to her as she comes to be a part of First Baptist Church today. All right?
Got a video.
One thing's for certain, inflation doesn't take a holiday.
Home prices continue to skyrocket, actually hitting a new record.
And no, it is not just you. Gas prices are up across the country right now.
It may get a little sticker shock if you've got to fill up your tank this morning.
Join us and learn how to build a financial foundation that honors God and that will stand the test of time.
It gave us a plan of how to go about giving money a purpose. Money without a plan just grows wings and goes wherever.
We have secured Enjoy services. They are going to help us when we get down to the point where we're going to need to raise funds for the things that the Lord, we feel like the vision that the Lord has given to us. So Enjoy also has, as a part of their services, they have some financial help. And so what they do, this is nothing to do with Capital Campaign. This is just on the side. So people in our church, people in our community, it doesn't have to be church members, it can be anybody, family members, friends, people that you know, people that may be struggling, have anxiety over finances, and how to be the manager, the steward that God has called us all to be, because God's given all of us the gift of finances. And so how can we be good stewards of that and good managers of that which God has given to us? And so on Sunday, March the 9th, from 4 to 6 p.m., then they will be bringing a guy that will come in, and he will be helping. How do you put a budget together? How do you live a life when you're not so filled with so much anxiety when it comes to finances? What about retirement? What about whatever your retirement's going to be? So helping to look to the future, looking budgeting and those kind of things now. So if you have any struggle about that whatsoever, and you would love to come to a meeting to have somebody biblically talk to you about money, finances, and how you can do that in a much better way, then all you've got to do is hit that QR code. If you look right in the middle of our bulletin, you'll see, join us for a financial learning experience, and there's a QR code there. Hit it. Sign up and register, and then you can come and be a part of that two-hour session. That will be very, very, very helpful. All right? Ken, what do you got?
We do have a handbell group that meets regularly on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock in the choir room. We're in need of a couple of spots to be filled by someone that really can read music and would love to be a part of this group. Had a lady, in fact, call our church this week. Said that she was a handbell player and was looking for a place to play. So she's planning to come this afternoon. So that kind of fills one of those spots. We've got a couple more left. So if you're interested or you know someone that plays that or reads music that might be interested, we could certainly use some help.
Today is technically the last day to turn in baby bottles, but I have several people after the early worship said, oh man, mine's at home. I said, don't, just bring it sometime this week, you're fine. Technically, this is our last day, but we still have a lot of you that want to turn those in. We still have some baby bottles still out there in the bags. You can grab it, take it, fill it up, bring it back sometime this week. They'll come by and pick them up. But I promise you when I say that if you turn yours in late, that the Crisis Pregnancy Center of Marshall County will still be happy to take your baby bottle. But today is our final day for turning those in. All right, come say a word of encouragement to Laura as we close by singing the doxology.